Thank you, Mr. Wallach, and happy Sabbath to everyone out in web land, TV land, and for those few of us that are here today. While we're still having service, we're still keeping the Sabbath, no matter what the obstacles are. My wife, Carmen, and I were supposed to be driving up to Oregon to see my uncle. Have a bunch of family up there in God's Church, and we were going to have Thanksgiving, and it was just going to be a wonderful time. He's in remission from cancer, and this is actually our second attempt. I found out yesterday, my cousin called and said the governor up there is shutting the whole state down, basically, and if there's more of a family of six, the COVID police are going to come and find somebody for like $1,200 fine or something like that. So anyhow, we're seeing a lot of changes in life. We're sort of back to the new normal. We were actually supposed to go up to Oregon about a month ago, and then they had all the wildfires, so I don't know what it is about not getting up to Oregon. My brother went up 2 weeks ago, and he just snuck back in before the clampdown, so maybe I should have went with him. I don't know. With everything that's going on today, it's easy to get caught up with the worries of the world's problems. Most everything we see or hear on TV or in the many forms of social media are all slanted towards lies, deception, half-truths. You even have deep fake, which is videos where they take their images out of the video, put other people in, and then send it around the world. And we just don't know really what's true anymore. And I know a lot of people, we're close to God, and I know we're all getting closer to God as we know that we're in the end times. But my question is, do we really have that hope that we need to endure in these times? We're bombarded by the COVID with all its repercussions, loss of jobs, health concerns, the economy, the civil unrest. My cousin called me the other day when she told us not to come up. They went up to Portland, Oregon, and they went to go at this nice restaurant. I think it was in the outskirts of downtown. She said it looked like Beirut, Lebanon up there. The federal building has cement blocks around it. It's even got barbed wire. It's just a disaster up there. We look at the weather. There's out of control fires and drought, tornadoes and hurricanes, the whole sexual and moral agenda, beliefs in that movement, those movements, and just the basic trials we face every day, and along with not being able to meet for Sabbath services on a weekly basis. We all know that in our country, our republic is at a crossroads. I did not vote, so my vote wasn't counted, so I really don't care, because the person I wanted on the ballot was Jesus Christ, and I couldn't find him anywhere on that ballot, so I just didn't vote. I do know that some people elect to vote, and that's fine, but personally, I just think that God sets up our leaders and takes them down, and no matter what happens, and no matter what's happening now, God's still in charge, and he's going to set up who we need and who we may not really need, but who we're going to get, depending on the sins of our nation and the lack of repentance. We're told in the Bible to come out of this world unless we share in her sins and judgments. In Revelation 18:4, it reads, "And I heard another voice crying from heaven, saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues." We're supposed to come out of this world, not be part of the world. And brethren, I know a lot of times with what's going on, sometimes we get emotional. I do. I watch the news, and I don't even watch the news anymore. I shouldn't say I watch the news. I'm done with it. Because no matter what's on, I just don't know what's truth and what's lies. And it really doesn't matter, because it's taken my mind off the focus of God and that straight and narrow path that we're supposed to be on. Then in Matthew 6:31 through 35, 6, 31 through 34 reads, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble." And the more and more this is just dragged on, and I sort of speculated that there might be a second wave coming. I mean, I have my own theory on this whole COVID thing myself, but that's besides the point. But it brought me to the realization of we're not part of this world, and I feel more like a sojourner and a foreigner now than I ever have. In Hebrews 11:13 through 16, this is the Revised Standard Version. It says, "All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth." This is how they lived. They were in the world, but they were still thought of themselves as strangers and foreigners. "For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return." So their main focus is on the kingdom. "But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them." The last sermonette I gave, it was maybe a month and a half ago or so, I spoke about faith. And this is going to be the second in a three-part series about faith, hope, and love. And today I'm going to be talking about hope. The hope for today. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, we read, "And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." I was listening to a sermon the other day by one of our ministers in the Church of God at UCG, and I knew that love was more important. I know God is love, but I couldn't really wrap my head around, but it's the greatest of these. I mean, we need faith, we need hope. And then he said it so eloquently in his sermon, the reason love trumps faith and hope is because when we are in God's kingdom, our faith is going to be fulfilled and our hope's going to be fulfilled because we're going to be in God's kingdom reigning with Jesus Christ for that 1,000 years for those that are first fruits. In Psalm 16:5 and 6 in the New King James Version, it reads, "O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance." We have really a lot to look forward to with this hope, no matter what's going on around us. In the Strong's lexicon, the Strong's Hebrew 2256, it says that lines is a cord, a rope, a territory, a band, a company, a measuring rod or line, a measured portion or a lot. In 1 John 3:3, we read, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." And then in Galatians 5:5, it reads, "For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." We hope for this hope by what's burning in us, our desire and the faith that we have. And then in Psalms 39:7 it reads, "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you." So let's cast all our cares upon God. We know he's in charge. And hopefully with all this coronavirus and the upheaval that's just going around the world, we're going to all be closer to God and walk in that narrow path. With a lack of hope, we get into the story of Job. And we know he was a righteous man, and God blessed him immensely with provisions, family. He was a wealthy man. But then in Job 17, 1 and 2, Job prays for relief when he has his severe trials. And in 17, 1, it reads, "My spirit is broken, my days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. Are not mockers with me? And does not my eye dwell on their provocation?" Sounds like he's feeling a little sorry for himself. Then Job 17, 15 through 16 reads, "Where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Will they go down to the gates of Sheol? Shall we have rest together in the dust?" So he was pretty down and out at that time. Then in Proverbs 13, 12, it reads, "Hope deferred makes a heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." And brethren, the hope for tomorrow that we have is we can find in Romans 15, 13, where it reads, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And in conclusion, John 14, 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive it to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In God, there is true hope. He is our hope.